This is the Sean Hannity Show podcast.
For several months, I've called on the Republican majority to block the confirmation of President Obama's executive and judicial nominees other than vital national security positions unless and until the president rescinds his lawless amnesty. I'm sorry to say the majority leadership has been unwilling to do so. The Republican majority, if it so chose, could defeat this nomination, but the Republican majority has chosen to go forward and allow Loretta Lynch to be confirmed. I would note there are more than a few voters back home that are asking what exactly is the difference between a Democratic and Republican majority when the exact same individual gets confirmed as Attorney General, promising the exact same lawlessness. What's the difference? That's a question each of us will have to answer to our constituents when we come home. In my view, the obligation of every senator to defend the Constitution is front and center why we are here. We have a nominee who has told the United States Senate she is unwilling to impose any limits whatsoever on the authority of the President of the United States. In the next 20 months, we are sadly going to see more and more lawlessness, more regulatory abuse, more abuse of power, more executive lawlessness. Now more than ever, we need an Attorney General with the integrity and faithfulness of law to stand up to the president.
And of course, that didn't happen. Senator Ted Cruz was dead on right, although he didn't vote in the final vote here. It was 56-43 because he was so dead set against it. 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. The other top issue of the day that we are following is Congress and the White House. Will they investigate Hillary Clinton's uranium deal? I mean, this just gets worse by the hour for the Clintons. You got this New York Times report about the State Department's decision to approve the sale of uranium mines, U.S. uranium mines, to a Russian company that donated millions of dollars to the Clinton Global Initiative, and that a Russian investment bank promoted the deal and paid Bill Clinton $500,000 for a speech in Moscow. On top of that, you got a report that Bill Clinton received $26 million in speaking fees for entities that also donated to the Clinton Global Initiative. And you have the Examiner report that 22 of 37 corporations nominated for a prestigious State Department award and six of the eight ultimate winners all happened while Hillary was Secretary of State, and they're big donors to the Clinton Foundation. And Hillary's charities are literally refiling at least five annual tax returns after a Reuters review found errors in how they reported donations from governments and said they may audit other Clinton Foundation returns in case of other errors. Joining us with a reaction to this big blockbuster story is Jay Sekulow. He's the chief counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, and Mark Levine, a constitutional attorney. Jay, let's start with you. Let's start with the Clinton Foundation first and the New York Times big story today.
Well, I'll tell you regarding the Clinton Foundation and redoing their 990s, and Mark knows this as well. I mean, my first job out of law school was in the Treasury Department for the IRS, and we did tax exempt. I did litigation on that for the government. When you start refiling your 990s and doing significant amendments to the 990s, which are only being done here because they've been caught, it's going to be fascinating to see the new disclosures on these foreign government contributions. And I think, Sean, what's happened here is the reality of the way the Clintons were running that foundation, and now the public disclosure, they're going to try to backfill. And when I say backfill, here's what's happening. If they can amend the returns before an audit or before the audit actually starts, that'll be a better defense for them if there were any legal proceedings by the IRS. So I suspect that's why they're doing it.
What's your reaction to this, Mark Levine? Do you care if the Russians are getting special deals and getting the ability to mine uranium, and meanwhile the Clintons are benefiting financially to the tune of millions and millions of dollars with all the people associated with this Uranium One company?
I'll tell you something. I don't like when anybody pays money to a political candidate to get special favors. We all know that Jeb Bush has his own tax-exempt secret organization where people can funnel as much as they want, the Right to Rise Policy Foundation. There are some differences, though. The Clinton
that's a charitable PAC. That's not the same thing.
It's a charitable initiative. It's not a campaign organization like Jeb Bush's. This is a charitable initiative. It helps tens of millions of people around the globe with health care and so forth. And also, you should note that the uranium deal was approved by the Canadian government and a whole bunch of different agencies within the United States government, not just the State Department. So there's really no connection between the two. But I don't like any politicians receiving money from business people who have business before the U.S. government, whether it be Jeb Bush or Hillary Clinton or anybody else. Unfortunately, they all do it. And ever since United,
what evidence do you have that Jeb Bush is doing business while he's not been a federal employee? So well, that's not correct.
You know what, Mark? Let me tell you what today's discussion is about. Today's discussion is about the front page of the New York Times. Now, if they have an expose on Jeb Bush in the future, we'll be glad to have you back to talk about that. I want you to respond to the front page of the New York Times today and the Wall Street Journal today, and all of this information. As Clinton Foundation donors and Bill's speaking fees overlap with these companies that her State Department helped, including this Russian nuclear interest deal that allows them to basically corner the market on uranium production, and how this ethical line was crossed, even though, as the New York Times points out, she was supposed to disclose all donors to the Clinton Foundation, and again, she didn't do it.
No, these were disclosed.
No, they were not disclosed.
No, they were not.
Unlike Jeb Bush, the Global Initiative.
Hey, Mark,
its donors.
Mark, if you mention Jeb Bush one more time, I'm just going to hang up on you. I'm asking about Hillary Clinton.
Why can't we hold all candidates
because the New York Times has a 4,000-plus word piece out today about Hillary.
Okay.
And all you want to do is deflect.
Standards, you don't want to hold the Republicans.
Okay. When that article is written about Jeb, I'll have you back. But let's focus on the issue at hand here. Let's focus on the New York Times article about Hillary Clinton.
The uranium deal was done in the early stages of the Obama administration. It was approved by the Canadian government. It was approved by a whole host of United States agencies, including the
U.S. Committee on Foreign Investments, which Secretary of State Clinton's office serves on.
That's what the agency that approved it, the United States Committee on Foreign Investment. We could talk about that. But
you can't say
that this is something that Hillary Clinton caused to happen. A whole bunch
of
U.S. agencies
The Secretary of State is on the committee. It's the U.S. Committee on Foreign Investment.
It's part of it. By the way, we're
going to send $3.5 million over your foundation. It might be a conflict of interest. And then, we made a decision that every single
politician, Democrat and Republican, running for Congress has a conflict of interest. I don't care whether it's Hillary Clinton or Jeb Bush.
Mark, here's your problem.
The difference is, by the way, Jeb is a campaign donation, and this is
a
donation.
Jeb is a political action committee. The Right to Rise PAC is a PAC.
Right.
He is not serving, nor has he served, as an officer or a secretary of the United States government. So you're conflating two things. That's right. A PAC is regulated by the Federal Election Commission.
This was given first in 2007 when Hillary Clinton wasn't Secretary of State and George Bush was president.
The deal was not closed until the Obama administration with the Secretary of State serving on the committee. And you know what the other problem here is, Mark, and you want to ignore this, but here's the fact. The fact is Hillary Clinton made an arrangement with the Obama administration on full disclosure on these foreign gifts to the foundation, and she didn't fulfill that. Now, what's the penalty? That's the magic question here.
Will you agree with me to call on anyone who gives a donation to any political candidate to disclose that donation, whether it be foreign or domestic, so that all of us can see exactly what was done, not just Hillary Clinton, but every single candidate for president, or will you say that only the Democrats have to abide by your ethical standards, and Republicans can be as unethical as you want? Why can't you, be consistent the way I am?
Let me make you a little more consistent. It's called the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, and depending on the nature of the entity that's receiving the donation, there's either a disclosure requirement or not because Congress says that's the,
hold on, it's a
Mark,
nonprofit institution.
Mark,
they did so for transparency.
They,
I'm asking
they,
Jeb Bush to
no,
do the same.
Foreign donations are being amended on the 990 as you and I are sitting here because they misstated the amount of the gifts. So that is, they made a disclosure that was incorrect under the penalty of perjury on their 990 form. That's like you filing your 1040.
Disclose.
So hold it.
Can you
no,
first
the,
that everyone should disclose?
No.
Or do you believe there
of
should be
Of course not, because
government?
America.
I will
hey,
give Hillary Clinton if you will make sure the Republicans go by the same standard. That's all I'm asking.
Well, everybody has to go by the same standards, but what you're conflating again is there's a First Amendment to the United States Constitution, which, by the way, protects anonymous giving in some contexts.
Does that have the right to give anonymous tax-exempt money to political candidates? You think the First Amendment allows that?
No, it's not. By the way, Mark,
about Hillary Clinton.
Mark, a PAC is not a C3. There's no charitable contribution when you give money to a PAC. It's not deductible.
Sure,
so that's a completely and there is a disclosure.
Can't do it and Jeb Bush can. That's what
I'm saying. Well, first of all, let me tell you something. You're conflating, again, a political action committee, which is regulated by the FEC, which has disclosure requirements, to a 501c3, the Clinton Foundation, which today, this morning, acknowledged that they're going to have to amend 5 years of tax returns for improper reporting.
And but here's the thing.
You think they just decided, you think they marked, they woke up this morning and they said, oh, let's amend our returns. I don't know why. Maybe it's because it's a front page article in the New York Times.
Here's the difference. Neither is required to disclose. You are not calling on Jeb Bush to disclose, but you're saying
the PAC,
and they have to correct it.
Gives
why
over a certain amount of money.
No.
There are PAC disclosure requirements. That's in the law.
This one's anonymous, not the Right to Rights Foundation. They have cleverly designed it, according to the Washington Post, to avoid any disclosure.
Let me play.
I was an IRS prosecutor. Guys, Mark, you don't know what you're talking about. Go ahead.
You know, one thing you've got to understand here, Jay, is that they're desperate at this moment because this is really basically selling out American security for their own benefit here. And when the New York Times and the Washington Post and Fox News and the evidence is now piled up to such an extent that I don't think there's anything that they can do about it. Let's go to this exchange today.
Hey, Mark, I
know you're voting for Hillary. Let me play this exchange between Jonathan Carl and Josh Earnest earlier today.
And the memorandum of understanding that governed Hillary Clinton's financial dealings of the foundation and her husband's speaking fees. First of all, can you make that memorandum public? Because I don't think we've ever seen it.
This is a memorandum of understanding that resides at the State Department, so you can ask them about their policy for disclosing it.
Okay, we've asked for that. I'm wondering if you can. I mean, this is, in the interest of transparency, this was supposed to be all about transparency.
Yeah.
Can we see that memorandum?
I think the goal of the memorandum was to ensure that even the appearance of a conflict of interest was avoided by ensuring that there was greater transparency and greater knowledge about the contributions that were being accepted by the Clinton Foundation for the charitable work that they do. That was the goal of the memorandum.
I mean, essentially, then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton promised that she would make public the donations to the Clinton Foundation and also speaking fees for President Clinton. Isn't it clear now that Secretary Clinton did not abide by her own memorandum of understanding with the President?
I'm not sure that that's clear, but you should go ask Secretary Clinton's team about
I'm asking that. You, because we now read that Uranium One, foreign company, donated over $2 million to the Clinton Foundation while she was Secretary of State. That would seem to be a pretty clear violation of a memorandum of understanding as it's been explained to us by you.
Well, again, for the details of this transaction, I'd refer you to either the State Department or Secretary Clinton's team. Obviously, that's not something that that was reviewed at this level.
All right, you get the gist of everything here. Final thoughts, Jay.
Well, I think, number one, the age of transparency never started with this administration. She made an agreement to keep everything in check, to have full disclosure. And this is what the Clinton's operation is, never to have full disclosure. And she put herself at this standard. She can't meet the standard. And that's exactly why they're going to go through this, Sean, all of this correction in the 990s. I think you'll see dramatic changes in those forms.
I believe in full transparency. I think it's telling that the two of you believe that only the Clintons should be transparent and not Jeb Bush.
All right. Thank you both for being with us. 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. We'll change gears a little bit. Our friend Jim Norton is going to come on. We'll talk politics, free speech. Can we accept free speech in America anymore? Is political correctness taken over? And your call straight ahead. 800-941-SEAN is our number.
Hannity Headlines, a bite-sized version of the show that you can take with you
anywhere you go.
To sign up today for Hannity Headlines, go to Hannity.com.
In hindsight, given what has happened with Russia over the last a year or two, was it a mistake to allow a Russian company to essentially corner the market on uranium in the United States? Was it a mistake to allow that transaction to go forward, allow them to control basically a fifth of the uranium supply in the United States?
John, I'm not familiar with that specific transaction. I know there's been some reporting on this today. But I can take your question and see if we can get back to you on the specific transaction that you're talking about.
Oh, so Josh Earnest doesn't have a clue. So the contributions weren't disclosed by the Clintons, despite an agreement that Mrs. Clinton had struck with the Obama White House to publicly identify all donors. This is going to create a rift. It's going to be massive. It's going to be huge. And I'm telling you, it's beyond damaging here. You want to talk about simple, basic ethics? Did the administration know that she had her own private server? Did they know that she wasn't on the State Department email list? Did they know that Hillary Clinton was getting all this money and the Clinton Foundation and up to their eyeballs, and she's approving a deal that allows the Russians to have 20% of our uranium output in this country? I mean, it's so obviously unethical. I mean, you don't have to connect the dots here. You don't have to be a genius to see pay to play. I mean, this is corruption, undue influence, conflict of interest, quid pro quo, whatever you want to call it. And it's going to go badly for them.
We know you never want to miss the Sean Hannity Show. And now you never have to. Just sign up for Hannity Headlines. A bite-sized version of the show that you can take with you on your laptop, your mobile phone, everywhere you go. Even to your liberal in-laws' place in Vermont.
So, yeah.
And after a few hours of that, you'll be glad you brought Sean along. To sign up today for Hannity Headlines, go to Hannity.com.
This is a very scary time for privacy and for stuff like that. And I think part of the reason we are so ill-equipped to handle everything is because we didn't understand the technology that was coming. People are getting in trouble with it because we're responding immediately to things. And here's why. Because nobody warned us about this. Nobody told us when we were in high school. Did anybody come to you? We talked about the future. They said things like, oh, you're going to have flying cars. Or, you know, mom's going to push a button and a pot roast will show up in the living room. Ooh, good for mom. No guidance counselor ever just said, Jim, stay alive. Because someday soon you're going to have a 6-inch glass telephone that you can use to photograph your and you can send it to any girl in the world. I wouldn't even ask if it made phone calls.
All right, that's our friend Jim Norton. His brand new stand-up act is called Contextually Inadequate, and it's playing on Epics tomorrow night, and it's going to be a lot of fun. One of the reasons I love having you on is because I have taken heat from my audience because I say Bill Maher is good for America. And, you know, I say that I hate Bill Maher. I don't even think Bill Maher is funny, which is the worst thing you can say about a comedian, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think he's that funny. I think he's an angry guy with a big agenda, and I think he pushes it on a show. But here's what I like about him. He'll say anything, and he gets away with it, which I think is good for all of us because I've got a whole... We have a whole institution that has been built to attack, monitor conservatives to get them thrown off the radio.
And Bill, my interactions with Bill have been very positive. He's actually been really nice to me. But yeah. I've heard his reputation. People say he can be difficult, but he's treated me very well.
Right.
And he's not a language cop. Like, he's a liberal guy, but he doesn't language police and he doesn't scold people and try to get them fired for saying the wrong thing. Like, you saw that Ben Affleck back and forth he had. And,
yep.
And then you realize Ben is trying to censor PBS because there was slavery in his
family's history.
Like, that's got nothing to do with you. No one's going to hold that against you, you know, but that's the mentality of politically correct people.
But think about where we are today. And by the way, Jim Norton is also on Sirius XM radio with, is it Opie and Norton now?
They call it Opie. Opie was like, we'll call it Opie and Jim. And I'm like, I don't want to jump in Anthony's grave. I feel like I'm doing that. So call it the Opie radio. And I'm just on the
Anthony
show.
Anthony is a right winger's right. He's more right wing than me.
Yeah,
on issues like guns and taxes and big government, he's very conservative.
Yes, and he drinks, which makes him quite frightening.
Well, that's like I think everybody does, so I don't think that's a big problem. And Opie was more non-political. That's fair to say.
I don't think he's middle of the road. Yeah, he's not. He's not a bleeding heart at all. He voted for Obama.
I'm never going to forgive him for that.
I think he did, but at least he voted. I do give him credit for that because I didn't.
No, I'd rather he didn't vote if he's going to vote for Obama. Yeah, which is pretty bad. But you see, this is now. I am so concerned about freedom of speech. Last night on the TV show, Letterman's under fire. Some guy asked a question about what advice you'd give kids, blah, 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 blah. Treat a woman like a... You know, and treat a whore like a lady and all that stuff. And you know what? All right, maybe it was a... His biggest crime, it was a 1930s joke.
Yeah.
That was the biggest problem. But the fact that now people want to push Letterman out even sooner than when he's leaving tells me we don't have the tolerance. We don't have the ability to accept the fact that people can say outrageous things and live with it. I don't think words hurt people, Jim.
Not as much as people say they do. It was like people say they want an open and honest conversation.
Right.
And then a guy like Phil Robertson gives an opinion on gay marriage that people don't like.
Right. Great example.
I don't even agree with his opinion. I'm for gay marriage.
Right.
But you shouldn't be afraid to say you're against it. You know? No. And he says, honestly, he doesn't hate gay people. He says, I'm just against gay marriage. And they yank him off the air. So it's like nobody wants an open and honest conversation. They just say they do.
We're afraid of it, it seems. And look, horrible things have been written about me over the years. Horrible. I mean, you name it, it's been said. Now, guess what, Jim? I choose not to read it.
I've read all of it. Some of it's good.
Some of it's good. Some of it's true. Some of it's not true.
Do you avoid reading it, though?
I don't read it. Why would I want to read that I suck, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, I'm ugly, I'm fat? You know, you just go through the whole gamut.
That sounds like every single tweet I get.
Yeah,
it's never
much,
complimentary.
Right? Never.
Yeah.
And now, the second thing is, if I do run across it, it doesn't bother me because I make my living with the First Amendment. Now, this all started, I think, you can go back to Howard Stern, Opie and Anthony, which you've been a part of the program for many, many years.
Yeah, about 15.
Then you've got the attacks on Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh, talk radio in general, the Fox News channel. There is now a well-funded institution that literally monitors every word that I say in the hopes that I say one word, one sentence, one phrase that they can then use and distribute. IMUS is another example.
Yeah.
To get me fired.
Well, radio guys are in always dangerous territory because we talk for hours.
Yeah.
It's like, what other medium do you talk for hours off the cuff, alive in front of the audience? Yeah. You can't offend this group. You can't offend that group. There's a whole bunch of things the FCC won't let you say. It's a tremendous amount of pressure when you're talking and taking phone calls and giving opinions and trying to be funny and trying to be serious. Yeah. And nothing dumb slips out. It's a miracle.
Yeah,
every time a radio guy gets through a four-hour broadcast without getting fired, it's a miracle.
It's a miracle. That's such a good way of putting it. It really is. Now, it's funny because I've not had as much trouble as a lot of the guys that we're talking about here because I made a decision a long time ago that I, you know what, I don't want to wake up every day. I can say everything that I need and want to say because this is more of a political show. You do more of a comedy show. I can say everything I need and want to say politically and not have to cross that line where it destroys the lives of people that work for me because, surprisingly, I'm actually somebody that cares about these people. And doesn't destroy my life and career for what? To say something that I didn't need to say anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you do the type of show that works very well on radio. Our show does not work as well on regular radio anymore. I mean, there was probably...
Doesn't work. You'd have to bleep 80% of it because I've listened to your show.
Yeah, it really... Even the casual conversations or the F-bombs that we just got used to being comfortable saying, you just can't do any of it on radio. Not that you could ever do that on regular radio.
You couldn't go back either, I don't think.
We tried when we were doing double duty at K-Rock and XM, and it wasn't fun. I lost a lot of money when we got fired from K-Rock. I was so happy to be just back on satellite because for us, that works. Regular radio just didn't work anymore.
But comedy is now in a different. It's at a different point. Like I think Chris Rock is so funny.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
I love watching him do his stand-up routine. I don't agree with the politics of it. I don't like some of the race stuff in it. But I watch Chris Rock when he throws down that microphone at the end of his show. My stomach will hurt because I laugh so hard.
Yeah.
He's that funny.
He's a great comic, and he gives real opinions, and he always has a funny angle on it.
Yeah.
He always he's never predictable. Like, he'll do something, and you're like, I didn't think of that angle, and that's what makes him great.
Right, but a lot of it is, now let's say you have a white guy that's an equivalent of Chris Rock and talks that much about race, using that many stereotypes,
sure.
does that guy survive in this day and age?
It depends on who he is, because people, of course, will come after you.
Right.
But it all depends, I think, how you defend yourself. If you're apologetic and you're like, oh, God, I didn't mean it, they smell blood and they pounce on you.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of me. I've achieved only mediocrity, and there's nothing they can take. That's what you have to do. Don't shoot too high.
I think you ruined your career with this photo of me naked with a microphone, you know, for this new stand-up thing. That was ugly.
I'll tell you why I did it.
That was horrible.
Yeah, I know. That kind of made me happy to do it, because, I mean, I'm never going to be a visually appealing guy, so I'm like, I'm going to go down on purpose.
Yeah.
It's contextually inadequate. It's like, you know, look, no one wants to be considered sexually inadequate, and nobody wants to think what I'm saying is not important or it's worthless. So those are my two greatest fears, so I put them together.
But you're like a comic genius, though. You remind me of a lot of creative people, that their blessing is their curse, and yet you've been able to navigate the waters. One of the things is, I've watched your career, you can come on Hannity, and you know where the line is, and you don't cross it, the TV show. You can come on my radio show. You're not going to drop an F-bomb, which you do regularly on your show.
Sure.
Or in your stand-up act.
Oh, yeah.
You used to work for Jay Leno. You were on The Tonight Show. And all those years, you never crossed the line there either.
Right.
If you did, I assume they cut it out.
They actually would. Debbie, the exec producer there, if I was debating a line, she's like, oh, go ahead. If it doesn't work, we'll cut it. She actually encouraged me to go, because I'm so paranoid from New York regular radio.
Right.
I cut myself usually 2 feet before the line.
Exception, because all these comedians, what makes them great is also the downfall. They cannot adapt to a different environment, but you can.
Well, yeah, plus, I think it's all the regular radio. I mean, it's just the years and years of doing radio and getting yelled at and getting dumped out of, like, on things that never should have been dumped out of. You just learn, like, okay. You know, it's like the dog that gets hit in the nose too many times for messing on the rug. You're like, I can't mess on the rug anymore. I'm going to get hit.
But it seems like I think that's also what makes people popular, is the fact that if people are going to speak their mind, they're pretty popular today.
Yeah, and I think that because we're so taught that if you don't say it right, you're going to get in trouble.
No.
So you just got to realize, hey, can I defend what I'm going to say? I started to do much better when I realized I'm not always right. I'm like every other dummy in the country. I'm right half the time, and I'm wrong half the time. So all I got to do is be honest. And if you agree, great. If you don't agree, that's cool, too. Just don't try to get me fired for saying it.
Are you following politics this year? Are you following Hillary? You see this mess she's got herself in? She got herself wrapped up in one ethical mess after another?
Yeah, it seems like it's... And Jerry Springer raised the point when we had him on, you know, not a politically dumb guy, that the Republicans can just fire at her for the next year because they know she's getting the nomination.
I was watching the History Channel this week. It's funny you mentioned Springer. Did you know his parents were victims in the Holocaust?
You mean they were killed, or they were just...
Did you know
that? No, I didn't.
He really... Because I've debated Jerry Springer. We've actually done... stand-up, but we had battles together. One was in Cincinnati. They actually put us in boxing robes, and Bill Cunningham announces us, in this corner, Sean Hannity, you know, and it was pretty funny.
He's good, though, right? He's not a dumb guy.
He's not a dumb guy. And I remember the first time I debated him. It was a pretty funny story. So... I had him on the TV show, and I got every stupid show that he ever did, have all my research in front of me, and I'm going to say, all right, I'm going to wait for him to explain this one and this one, and I've got video of this, and I'm going to hit him with that. And I said, well, what do you think of that? He goes, I know, it's so embarrassing. I'm so dumb. I'm so stupid. And I'm like, well, what do you think of this one then? I know. Oh, I'm cringing at the sight of it. What I do is stupid. It's dumb. A trained SEAL could do what I do. I know, and I get paid a lot of money for it. And he took all the air out of my balloon.
Yeah.
It's a good tactic, right?
A beautiful tactic to just own it.
Own it.
Hey, it's silly. Look, I'm a creep, whatever it is. You know, you got to own your own. People respect when you own it, because when it's not a secret or you're not trying to hide it, they can't get you with it.
So you mentioned before the phony apologies.
Yeah.
People say things that they really mean. And then they go out on the big apology tour. I'm so sorry. I never meant that. Then they go do the community service. And then they go on the Oprah show and cry. And then they do. Oh, stop. Just say, I meant it.
Yeah, or at least apologize sincerely and don't let a publicist write it for you.
Yeah.
Like, I thought when Jonah Hill apologized on Fallon, I didn't think he needed to. But I thought that, like, at least he was talking for himself. And he kind of went right on. And it was heartfelt. And... I felt that he didn't do anything wrong, but hey.
What did he say again?
He used homophobic slurs to attack the paparazzi. Suck my blank, blank, you know, to get the paparazzi.
Do that again, blank, 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 yeah. Suck, blank, 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 fill in the gap. Okay.
Yeah, it could be anything. And he said he was sorry for using the anti-gay slur. But it, again, the paparazzi is the guy who was, to me, the criminal because he was, you know, in his space and hassling him publicly.
People ask me all the time, whenever something comes up, why do I always defend people, even though I disagree with them politically? And my answer is always the same. There's now a well-funded group that wants to kill conservatives more than anybody.
Yep.
And so I'm just standing up for something that I believe in, and that's freedom of speech. And I don't care if what you say on the radio offends me. I do have power, and it's changed the dial.
Yeah.
There's a lot of dial positions you can go to.
And you're one of the guys that defended Opie and Anthony. And people who don't like Hannity.
I defended Marr.
You defended our radio show when there was a lot of problems.
And I'm a Catholic.
And nobody came out and defended ONA. And you're like, if you don't like it, change the dial. And so people who don't like the Hannity show don't like it, but you did stick up for us, and
And they were on against me at the time.
Yeah.
Best thing that could have happened is put them away. They were doing great.
Yeah, they really were on fire. That was a good time.
That was a good run for them, you know? And too bad. Anyway, what's Anthony doing? Is he doing his podcast?
Yeah, Anthony does it. Unfortunately, Anthony lives way out in Long Island. Yeah. And it really is a compound. And he's got his own show. It's on anthonycumia.com. I'll plug it because it's a good show. It's a video. He's got amazing. He's got a better studio than we have at Sirius.
Wow.
And he does it, I think, Monday through Thursday, 4 to 6. And it's very funny. I listen to it and I watch it whenever I can.
All right. Don't watch Jim Norton if you're easily offended. You do a very hard-hitting, very iconoclastic, blue, you know, dirty jokes, the whole bit.
Yeah, I'm a dirty. This one's not as filthy.
Not as bad.
But there's enough dirt to go around. So if you don't like dirty, you shouldn't watch it.
Okay. And it'll run, I'm sure, a number of times on Epix, right?
Yeah, EpixHD.com, Epix, and then in 3 months on Netflix.
Okay, cool. Jim Norton, good to see you, man.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. But let me tell you what we're doing on Hannity tonight. We're going to make it very, very explainable, this 12-page story about, well, we'll connect the dots for you. This pay-to-play scheme, this prima facie case of corruption, this undue influence that allows the Russians to have 20% ownership of our uranium assets here in the United States. What a conflict of interest it is with all the money going to the Clintons and their foundation. So we have Ed Henry and Jeanine Pirro on tonight, and we're going to have everybody imaginable. We get back into our Real War on Women segment. If you missed the Saudi Arabian women rights activists, we have part two tonight. And why is MSNBC full of tax cheats? 10 Eastern, tonight, Hannity on Fox. Thanks for being with us. Back here tomorrow.